Samuel 1. First Samuel 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept, and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. This is God's word, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Our text is the last two verses of the chapter, verses 27 and 28, where Hannah says, For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the books of Samuel begin in the heart of a mother. That's a striking place for these books to begin, because in these books of Samuel we meet remarkable figures in Old Testament history. In these books we meet the great prophet Samuel, prophet who would anoint Saul to be king, and then later David to be king. In these books we meet the great King David, the man after God's own heart, the man who was a clear type of the Lord Jesus Christ as conquering king, who went forth victorious, conquering and to conquer all of his enemies. We meet tremendous figures in these books of Samuel. But these books begin in a mother's heart, in that sanctuary, as she in her own heart prays to Jehovah for a child. Father, give me a man-child, she says, and I will lend him or return him or give him to you to serve you all his days. Hannah's confession, for this child I prayed, is really the confession that every parent makes when the Lord gives us children. For this child, we say, I prayed. Sometimes the Lord gives children to us, it seems, with very little anxiety on our part, with very little worry, with very little trouble. So that a couple is married young, given children right away. Other times, the Lord withholds children for a time so that we don't marry so young, perhaps, and aren't given children right away. And yet, in that sanctuary of a mother's heart and a father's heart, this prayer is made. Father, give us covenant seed according to thy will. This prayer that Hannah made was a prayer that included a vow. And that's the vow that all covenant parents make with regard to our children. The vow that we lend them to the Lord, or give them to the Lord, or return them to the Lord, so that when these children are given and become ours, we promise before the face of Jehovah that we will raise them in the fear of God's name. All of this, therefore, indicates to us that our children that we receive are gifts of Jehovah God. For these children, we have prayed. And all of this indicates then the calling that we have in the covenant of grace, the calling that we have because of Jehovah's mercy to us in that covenant of grace, establishing his friendship with us and with our children after us. That calling that we have is to bring up the children for whom we have prayed in the fear of Jehovah's name. And so we make that confession this morning as parents and as a congregation. We say, for this child I have prayed. In the first place, we consider the prayer itself. In the second place, we consider the gift that God gives of these children, and more, as we'll see. And then in the third place, we consider the vow that we make For this child I prayed, the gift, or the prayer rather, the gift and the vow. Hannah, at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, prayed. She prayed with zeal. She prayed fervently to the Lord, and the occasion of her prayer was that the Lord had closed her womb. Hannah was the wife of this man, Elkanah, whom we meet in verse 1. Elkanah foolishly and wickedly had married two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. We find that the Lord had opened Peninnah's womb so that she had many children. She had many sons and many daughters. We find that in verse 4. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. Peninnah had many children, but Hannah had no children. We find that in verse 5, that the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. Hannah desired children. Hannah fervently desired children, but the Lord had made it impossible for her to have children. He had shut up her womb. At least for a time, it was impossible for her to have children. This was of the Lord. This was no accident of biology. This was no mere happenstance, this circumstance in Hannah's life. The Lord had closed up her womb. And the Lord does that to his people in his church on occasion. He closes the womb. Perhaps the Lord does that, makes it impossible for someone to have a child because that person is not married. There's no spouse that the Lord gives. That young woman or that young man desires to be married, seeks a godly spouse, but God gives no spouse, at least not right away. And then that young man or that young woman cannot bring forth children. Or perhaps God gives a spouse to a man or a woman, but then closes up the womb, either through the father and his inability or through the mother and her inability, so that the couple does not bring forth children. When that happens, that is of the Lord. That's the hand of the Lord upon that man and upon that woman. And therefore, it is good. Though it is a difficult circumstance, though it is a trial and brings tears, it is nevertheless of the Lord and therefore good. But Hannah's trouble and the occasion for her prayer was especially the way her enemy assaulted her because the Lord had closed up her womb. Her enemy was Peninnah. Not only was Elkanah foolish and wicked in marrying two wives, although Elkanah himself apparently was a believer, but had fallen into this gross sin of marrying two wives, but Elkanah had married an unbeliever. One of his wives was ungodly. Peninnah was the enemy of godly Hannah. Peninnah assaulted godly Hannah. And Peninnah used the Lord's circumstance that the Lord had laid upon Hannah against her and vexed her with that fact and caused her to fret with that fact. We find in verse 6 that her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And then verse 7, and as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. You can almost hear Peninnah, can't you? Coming to Hannah and saying to her, "Oh Hannah, it's time for the yearly sacrifice again. Last year we went up to the house of the Lord, and this year we're going up to the house of the Lord again. Last year you didn't have children, and this year you don't have children either. What's wrong with you?" Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. The Lord is against you. Look at me. Look at all my sons. Look at all of my daughters. The Lord is for me, and the Lord is against you. So that Hannah fretted and wept and was vexed. And that's the way the enemy seeks to attack God's people today yet, when our earthly circumstances are adverse, when they are difficult, when we desire a certain thing, a certain family situation, desiring to be married, or being married, desiring to bring forth children, and the Lord does not give a spouse, or the Lord does not give children, then the enemy comes and says, another year has gone by, and still you have not been blessed by the Lord with children. And you know why that is? It's because the Lord doesn't favor you. It's because the Lord favors everyone around you as you watch your friends marry and bring forth children. But he keeps it back from you because he does not favor you. The devil makes that kind of accusation against us. And so grievous was this burden, so sore was the attack of the enemy upon Hannah, and so heavy were her circumstances that she wept sore. She was filled with tremendous trouble in her own soul. We find in verse 7 that she wept and she didn't even eat. We find in verse 10 she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And these earthly circumstances, as well as the attack of the enemy, can cause that kind of trouble and vexation in our own souls. We weep with the tears running down our face for the way the Lord deals with us. And yet, that sorrow became the occasion for Hannah's prayer. Hannah met that sorrow with prayer. Now the Word of God calls us to be praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, for example, says, pray without ceasing. And in Philippians 4, we read, let your requests with thanksgiving be made known unto God. We are called always to be praying. But there are times in our lives when God so works the circumstances and so governs the enemies against us that we weep and that we're afflicted. And God does that in order to draw us to Himself so that we meet that sorrow and meet that attack of the enemy with prayer. What a beautiful way to meet these adverse circumstances. Hannah did not meet them by becoming stoic, by saying, well, it doesn't matter anyway, and you'll never find me shedding a tear about this trouble in my life. That's not how Hannah met it, finding some strength within simply not to cry. Hannah didn't meet this circumstance and this sorrow with discouragement and with crippling inability to function. Hannah didn't meet it that way. Hannah didn't meet it by trying to escape into all kinds of distractions, the way the world offers us all kinds of distractions today and ways of escape through drink or through entertainment or through whatever it may be. But Hannah met her affliction with prayer. And that's an example for the child of God. With the tears running down our faces, we pray unto God and cry unto Him. Verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. In our tears and bitterness and sorrow, we cry unto Jehovah God. Now there's a reason why Hannah met her affliction with prayer, and reasons why we are called to meet all of our afflictions with prayer as well. And the reason, in the first place, is that Jehovah God is our refuge. And Jehovah God is our only refuge. We find Hannah indicating that in verse 11 when she said, O Lord of hosts, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, Hannah herself recognized that her only hope was in Jehovah, that she must be remembered by him, that he must not forget her, but look upon her and think about her in his thoughts of love and mercy. Then she has a refuge. Then even her enemy, Peninnah, cannot overthrow her. The devil himself could not overthrow her, for her refuge is Jehovah. And so it is for us in our afflictions and sorrows. We have one refuge only, one hope only, and that refuge is Jehovah. And so in our afflictions we fly to him and cry unto him and pray to him even as we weep sore. But in the second place, the reason for meeting our afflictions with prayer is that the Lord is pleased to use prayer as a means or an instrument to give us those things that we pray for in harmony with his will. God uses prayer as an instrument to give. We read that in the Heidelberg Catechism. In the opening Lord's Day on prayer, why is prayer necessary for Christians? And there we read that God gives his grace and Holy Spirit to those who ask God for them. Prayer is an instrument that Jehovah God uses to give us what we pray for. Hannah came with the request, give me a child, open my womb. And God used that prayer as the instrument to give what she had requested in harmony with his own will. And so that is for us. In our adverse circumstances, buffeted by the assault of the enemy, God is pleased to use those prayers to bestow upon us the things that we ask for that are in harmony with his will. What was Hannah's request in this prayer? Hannah requested a child. Verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and so on, and wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. In this prayer, Hannah besought God for a son. And that shows that we as God's people may beseech God for children. Now, those of us who are married and have not been given children yet, and perhaps have not been given children for many years, may pray to God, give us a child. Those of us who are unmarried but desire to be married and to raise a covenant family may beseech God, give me a spouse, and then give us children. The child of God always prays according to God's will, always says, Thy will be done, not mine, and if it be thy will. But we may pray for the giving of covenant seed. And that teaches us then that we are allowed to pray in harmony with the will of God. That's what our petitions are for those things that God in his word has told us, I want to give you, I desire to give you, I will to give you. That may be something specific, very specific. God has told us in his word that he wills to give us salvation. He wills, it is his will to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. It is his will to give us his Holy Spirit to abide with us. We pray for those things. Father, forgive my sins. That's in harmony with the will of God, and we beseech him for it. But there are other things that God has not necessarily promised to every single individual, which he has promised to his church as a whole. And his promise to his church as a whole is to establish his covenant with us and our seed after us in our generations, so that as members of the church of Jesus Christ, it is legitimate for us to beseech God, give us children too, Give us generations that love thee and follow after us in that love for thee. And then with those petitions, praying according to thy will. And someone might ask, well, where is that in Hannah's prayer? In verse 11, we find only the request, give me a man child. Where is this submission to God's will in Hannah's prayer? Well, we find that submission to God's will a little bit later in the chapter. After Hannah's interaction with Eli, when Eli thought she was drunken, because she was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out. Eli assumed she had been drunken and said, put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah responded, I'm not drunken, but in the fullness of my heart I have, and sorrow of my heart I have prayed unto God. Then Eli says to her in verse 17, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And what was Hannah's response? Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hannah rested in the Lord's will. Hannah rested in the Lord's provision. Hannah could be at peace. The tears could be stopped. The bitterness of heart could be removed. She could eat again, and she could go her way in peace again, because she relied upon the will of the Lord. And so it is for us. The circumstances may be difficult. The trials may be heavy. The enemy's attack may be fierce. But when we pour out our souls to the Lord, fly to Him for a refuge, put our trust in Him, then we can go our way in peace. Without fear, we can eat again. For our trust is in Jehovah. Our trust is in His will. So Hannah, in perfect confidence in God, prayed for this child. So it is for us in all of our afflictions and circumstances. We pray. Jehovah God gave to Hannah and to Elkanah a gift, a great gift. The gift that God gave was Samuel. That's what Hannah says in verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. He gave me. Samuel is a gift from him. And so we confess regarding our children that the Lord gives, regarding Easton this morning, and regarding all of the children the Lord gives, our children are gifts from Jehovah. Our children are not merely the natural product of a marriage. Children are not given to us because of our own strength and our own ability to bring forth children, but children are given to us as gifts of the Lord. And that means that even the couple who brings forth children and who has no trouble bearing, nevertheless confesses about all of those children, these children are gifts. And that shapes our view of our children tremendously. Being gifts from Jehovah, our children are not our own to do with as we please, but our children are Jehovah's to be given to Him. We receive our children as an heritage of the Lord and as the fruit of the womb that is His gift and reward, as Psalm 127, verse 3 teaches us. God gives children as gifts of His to be received that way as well. But God gave much more than a child as a gift to Hannah. And Hannah herself recognized that there was much, much more involved in this gift of Samuel. The gift that God gave to Hannah and the gift that he gives to his people is the gift of salvation. Now, we didn't read chapter 2, but in chapter 2 it becomes plain that Hannah understood this gift of a child was much bigger than merely the gift of a child, great as that gift is, but was the gift of salvation itself. Chapter 2, verse 1, in response to God's gift, Hannah prays again. She sought God's blessing of a child, and now receiving it, prays again and says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." In thy salvation. Hannah saw salvation in the gift of Samuel. Well, how can that be? How was that salvation? It's not this, that Samuel was her Savior, just as it isn't for us that our children are our saviors, so that we put all our hope and all of our trust in our children and what our children will do and what feats our children will accomplish. That's not the idea here, but rather the idea is this, that God's gift of a child to Hannah was his deliverance of her from her enemy. The salvation that she's talking about here is salvation from the foe. She's talking about victory over the enemy. That comes out in verse 1 of chapter 2. My horn is exalted in the Lord. That's victory. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. That's victory. And that comes out in the rest of the prayer too, from verse 1 through 10. Throughout that passage, Hannah rejoices over her enemy. She rejoices that the mouth of the enemy is now stopped. She rejoices that the Lord hath lifted up the lowly and hath cast down the proud. Hannah finds the salvation of victory over the foe. And that's the salvation that Jehovah gives to us too. The gift of Samuel was like a picture or a parable. It was a demonstration of the way the Lord always works with his people. He doesn't always work this way to give every one of us a child, but he always works this way to give us victory over our enemies, over the enemy of sin and guilt, over the enemy of shame, over the enemy of the devil and his host, over the enemy who is the world, and over the enemy that is our own sinful flesh. Jehovah gives victory over the enemy. That victory is that the enemy cannot have us. The enemy cannot be exultant in his desire to bring us down to the pit. That's really what the attack of Peninnah against Hannah was, an attempt to bring her down to the pit, an attempt to send her to hell. In her own conscious experience, as Peninnah came year after year with mockery and with accusation in her voice against Hannah. "You're in hell, Hannah," is really what Peninnah was saying. "The Lord doesn't favor you. He has no mercy for you. He has no regard for you. He doesn't think about you." Well, that's hell. God gave her victory over that hell. God gives his people victory over that hell of his curse, over sin and death, and over every enemy that we face by raising us up out of that hell and bringing us to the heights of heaven. But how does God give that victory? Well, we find the answer to that in an intriguing conclusion to Hannah's prayer in chapter 2, verse 10. "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, now this, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. She refers to the king and to the anointed. But in Hannah's day, there was no king yet. This was the end of the period of the judges. There had not been any king sitting upon a throne in Jerusalem. Saul would be the first later, then David, the man after God's own heart. But when she made this prayer, there was no king. And yet Hannah refers to the king and to the anointed. And that indicates that Hannah had her eye of faith squarely fixed upon the king, the true office bearer of Jehovah, the true anointed of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ. And Hannah's confession was that this Jesus Christ is exalted. His horn is exalted just like a beast of the field with horns when he's victorious and not cowed by some predator, has his horn lifted up. So also Jehovah anoints the horn, exalts the horn of his anointed, and gives strength unto his king. He lifts up Jesus Christ as his champion over the foe. And Jesus Christ, who reigned as a king at the cross of Calvary, with that superscription written over his head, the King of the Jews. As a king he died, and as a king he established his kingdom in righteousness. And that's the salvation that God gives to his church. And God's gift of Samuel to Hannah was a little picture, a little parable, a little microcosm of the way God always deals with his people in Jesus Christ. We have the victory over our enemies, including the enemy of sin and death and the grave, through the Lord. What a gift. What a great gift of Jehovah God to you and to me as well. And so Hannah made a vow. In order to understand that vow, we first must see what is the idea of a vow. A vow is similar to an oath, but not exactly the same. In an oath, somebody takes the Lord's name on their lips and attaches the Lord's name to a promise that they make. Someone swears an oath in the name of God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that God's own name is attached to that promise to tell the truth. Well, a vow is a promise too, but a vow doesn't include that element of the oath of attaching God's name to it. Nevertheless, a vow is made before the face of God. A vow is a solemn promise before Jehovah God and sometimes before God's people. The idea of the vow is not that it is a bargaining chip, a bargaining tool with God. Someone might think that perhaps, looking at 1 Samuel 1 verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and if thou wilt remember me, and if not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Someone might see that vow as a kind of bargain. That's not at all the idea of a vow. There is no bargaining with Jehovah God. But rather, the idea of a vow is that someone makes a solemn promise in harmony with the requirements that God Himself has given to us. And someone makes that solemn promise as an act of worship and as an act of gratitude to Jehovah God. This is what the baptism form calls the third principal part of the doctrine of holy baptism. That third principal part is that in all covenants there are contained two parts. not two parties, two bargaining parties at the bargaining table, but two parts. God gives us salvation. He gives us Jesus Christ. And our part in the covenant then is to worship Him and serve Him and obey Him in that covenant to His glory and out of gratitude for what He has given. The gift that God had given is salvation in Christ, victory over the enemy. The vow that Hannah makes and that we make is the vow of gratitude to God. That's a vow, a promise before God in harmony with God's own commandments and requirements to do those things that a grateful child of God will do. What was Hannah's vow? Hannah's vow in the first place was that she would give Samuel unto the Lord. That's verse 11. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. That idea of being given to the Lord is further explained in verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And that word lent there literally means returned. Returned. Hannah's vow then was a vow that she would return this child to Jehovah because this child was Jehovah's from the beginning. This child was not her own to do with as she pleased, but belonged to Jehovah. And so she returned him to him. That's how she gave him. And that's the calling that we have as earthly parents and the vow that we make too at baptism. We vow that we will raise our children in the fear of God's name as the parents before us vowed this morning. They will see to their Christian education. They will teach them all these doctrines from the Word of God and the articles of the Christian faith and taught here in this Christian church. They will bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's the vow that we make as parents. We make that vow recognizing our children are not our own, but belong to the Lord. Then that vow in the second place for Hannah was the vow that Samuel would be a Nazarite. She indicates that in verse 11 when she says, "There shall no razor come upon his head." There were certain people in Israel who were Nazarites. They had taken a vow. Sometimes that was a temporary vow. Sometimes it was a lifelong vow. But in this vow to be a Nazarite, they vowed that their hair would not be cut. They vowed that they would not touch a dead body and that they would not drink strong drink. And this would set them apart, even in appearance, from the rest of the nation. And that vow to be a Nazarite indicated then that we are set apart unto the Lord. And that's the vow that we make regarding our children too. We don't make that vow with regard to the outward signs anymore. That was all typical and fulfilled in Christ now, but we do make that vow with regard to the spiritual reality. They're set apart. They're different. They're different from the world. They're not of the same mind as the world. They're not of the same spirit as the world. They're not of the same goal and end as the world. They're of Jehovah God, and therefore we set them apart through instruction and training through our praying for them. The child of God who is given a child makes this vow too, that they will be set apart. And that's a joyful vow to make. I used to think in reading through 1 Samuel that this was a sorrowful event. Samuel was young, we read in chapter 1, when he's brought to the temple and given there to the Lord. Hannah has to go home away from Samuel. They're apart from each other. It seemed like a sorrowful event, but it's not. For a child to be given to the Lord is not sorrowful. For a child to serve the Lord and worship Him in the Lord's house is not sorrowful. That's joyful. That's the greatest joy a parent can have. That my children walk in the truth. That they serve the Lord and love Him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These aren't sorrowful vows that parents make. Though it takes much grace and much labor to fulfill these vows, though it depends entirely upon Jehovah God to give us the strength to raise our children in the fear of His name, these are not sorrowful vows, but joyful. And as a congregation, we rejoice in those vows that were taken today, those vows that we have made as well. And ultimately, this whole thing, the prayer, the gift, the vow, does not begin in the heart of a mother or a father, but begins in the heart of Jehovah God, in His eternal love, in His sovereign good pleasure to have for Himself a people and a church in Jesus Christ, to serve His anointed and be delivered by His anointed. This all begins for Hannah in the heart of Jehovah God and for us in the heart of Jehovah God. Why were Hannah's circumstances what they were? Because God said so. Why are our circumstances what they are? Because God says so. And because this is His good decree regarding our earthly path. And in this earthly path, He saves us through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So that at the end of the prayer that we make to God for our children, we may rise from our knees and, as Hannah did, go home with peace and confidence and eat, knowing that Jehovah God is good to us and our seed. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. We thank Thee for Thy salvation of us from our enemies through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast shown us the way of gratitude, the way to show love for Thee for what Thou hast done. Give us grace then before Thee to fulfill our vows by Thy strength and for Jesus' sake, forgiving all our sins. In His name we pray. Amen. Psalter number 190. Here we confess in stanza 4, Thou hast upheld me in Thy grace from childhood's early days. To Thee from whom I life received will I give constant praise. The four stanzas, all four of 190.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.